Jesus brings a message of cost to your individual life and to this church and to the church at large, because Jesus understands when we know the reality of the cost of our lives, the cost of suffering, the cost of death to self, he understands it's going to weed out pretty quickly those who are false.
Hi, and welcome to Live in the Light. We're thankful that you've joined us here today, and we pray that you're expectant that God will be working in your lives as we study together the truths from God's Word. Hey, you've joined us in the middle of a series we're calling Gospel Advance. We're talking about the gospel one more time today. And Robbie, our teaching for today is a specific piece about the gospel. Where are we going?
It's a part of the gospel that people often don't really want to discuss because it's a part that's going to cost us, and yet it's essential if we're going to truly and with sincerity follow our Savior Jesus Christ, because he just went out of his way over and over again and said, if you're going to follow me, it will come at a price, but it is so, so worth it. But this text today, and it's a serious one, it unpacks what Jesus teaches to his disciples about if we're going to walk down his path, then it comes at a price again, but it will result in so much amazing fruit in our lives. So in some ways, a tough message, but such a needed message, especially in our day where the truth must be heard and the lies must be silenced of what it means to truly be an authentic disciple of Jesus Christ. So I pray the Lord will use this in a powerful way as he has for so many hundreds of years in his word and impact our hearts today as well.
All right, well, let's turn things right away into God's word. Luke 14 is our text, and let's go once again back to Robbie with today's message.
Okay, week number two within our series here. And just want to remind you of the title for our series. Here it is right here. It's Nuts for Jesus. All right? And we, in some ways, we're called to be crazy for Jesus, nuts for Jesus Christ. The world doesn't understand. The world thinks that we're insane in terms of what we're wanting to do and live for him. And this passage today is no exception. But here's the real title for our series. It's this. It's Gospel Advance, the light shining in the darkness. We're being called to take so seriously the commission that Christ himself has put on us. And I want to remind you then, the goal for this series is this, that we would reinvigorate my passion for the gospel. I love that that's happened already in this series. I've talked to several people this week who just came flat out and said to me, Rob, I want you to know that I was so convicted by the Lord in the message for the gospel, I had to go out and shine the light of Jesus Christ in a new way this past week. Awesome. And so the prayer is, Lord, not just one week, but burden us continually to keep the love and passion for the gospel to be my purpose, you see? So this is our goal, that the passion for the gospel becomes my purpose in the gospel and then my perspective in the gospel. And that's a big thing that's going to happen today, is gaining perspective in the gospel, specifically through Luke chapter 14. Today we are being challenged to count it, maybe in a way we haven't done in a long time, or maybe if ever. So here we are today. The gospel comes at a cost. Count it. And please open your Bibles then, as I said, to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 is where we are going to be today, specifically verses 25 through 33. Now, I want to start today with verse 25, which makes sense. It's the first verse in our text, but also because verse 25 is such a telling intro and really speaks to the rest of our passage and theme today. So look at Luke 14, verse 25. It says, now, great crowds accompanied him. That's, of course, Jesus. And Jesus turned and said to them. So notice first that great crowds accompanied Jesus. Now, for any Bible teacher, this would be a great sign. Any Bible teacher want to be used in the things of the Lord. Great crowds accompanied him. That would be exciting. Lots following. There was momentum that was on the scene. There was a huge opportunity now for the teachings of Jesus Christ to gather more people and to increase the size of the attendance of those who surrounded Jesus. There's a great opportunity here, right? Right? Well, with Jesus, the answer is sort of. There was an opportunity here for sure, but maybe not the one that we might expect. I want you to see what Jesus does as the crowds increase in size and close in around him. When the crowds get the largest, it says, Jesus turned and said to them, now look at verse 26. Jesus turned and said to the great crowds that were there, if anyone comes to me, that sounds good, and does not hate his own father, what? And mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, what you talking about, Jesus? Yes, and even his own life. Then he ends with this astounding statement, he cannot be my disciple. Okay, so I always exhort you, live in the text, okay? Imagine you're one of the 12 disciples. You're one of the 12 disciples and you see the crowds gathering. You're like, yeah, man, Jesus is on a roll, man. I was a fisherman. I was nobody. I was a tax collector. I was despised. But now I'm one of the in crowd with Jesus. And here I am and Jesus is teaching and preaching. And man, things are looking great, man. The numbers are up and people are excited and they're all coming to gather around him. And you're there, one of the 12 disciples. And in a sense, you're so proud. And it's just, yeah. Here's my guy. Here's my rabbi. And then he says, verse 26. I want to ask you, if you're one of the 12, what are you thinking at that moment? You know, as Jesus says, if anyone does not hate his mother, brother, sister, and even his own life cannot be mine. I mean, if you're one of the 12, are you like, hey, Peter, did he just say that? Did he just say what I thought? Did he just say what I thought he said? Or like, what's your face doing as you hear Jesus say that? Are you just like, what? Did he say what I thought he said again? I live in the text and imagine that moment as a disciple. You really are not sure what's going on. Let's know this about Jesus. I love this. Jesus, this wasn't a good PR move right here by Jesus. It wasn't. Jesus was not a good politician, was he? Was he? A politician would never, ever do this because they want the numbers to increase. But I love the fact that Jesus was not a good politician. I love the fact that Jesus loved the people too much to be so concerned about how many were there. He wasn't into the quantity, but he was into the quality. And that's why he brought the message that he brought. It's interesting to me that often when the crowds got the biggest, Jesus brought his hardest. It's amazing to me. And let's be clear, this little sermon here by Jesus, this would not grow the church, so to speak. It would probably shrink it. And in some ways, I think our message today will do the same. But let's also be clear, this little message by Jesus, it would strengthen the church. It would indeed strengthen the church and those who truly followed him. And I believe our message today will do the same. Probably won't grow the church today here, but I think for those who listen and believe and by faith will follow, I believe this message will strengthen the church. Because what Jesus does now within this text, he brings a message of cost. He brings a message of suffering. Ultimately, he brings a message, if you're gonna follow me, you gotta die to self. Why would Jesus do this? He does this for the same reason a goldsmith heats up gold. As the goldsmith heats up gold, it causes the impurities of the gold to rise to the surface. And as the impurities rise to the surface, the goldsmith is then able to skim off those impurities, thereby leaving the gold more pure than it was before. Jesus brings a message of cost to your individual life and to this church and to the church at large, because Jesus understands when we know the reality of the cost of our lives, the cost of suffering, the cost of death to self, he understands it's going to weed out pretty quickly those who are false. It's going to show us in our own individual lives the parts we are living for self and the parts we're actually living for Christ. So as the heat gets turned up into our lives, the impurities rise to the top. And by the grace of God, through messages like this, he skims off the impurities within our lives and within our church, thereby maybe not leaving us greater numbers, but leaving us with a more pure body and family of God gathered at this time. That's why Jesus gives messages of cost of self, cost of suffering, and cost of death to self. You see, Jesus was not into spiritual hype Praise God for that. But Jesus was into spiritual health and nothing has changed. So as we enter into this message today, loved ones, I need you to know, and I hope you do know, that the life for the genuine follower of Jesus Christ today, now listen to this, the life for those following Christ, you understand it's not getting any easier, right? And I really hope you know it's not getting easier to follow Christ, but I believe it will get way better. That's the irony of what Jesus Christ does. In the midst of the greatest difficulty and hardship, he produces some of the greatest joy. It's those who are suffering the most that so often find the greatest joy that is unexplainable even to themselves, let alone the rest of the world. But let's understand, following Christ in our world right now, all the signs are indicating it's not getting easier. That's why Jesus says messages like he says today. This is why he points out passages that we have today. Now, what we discover in passages like this and in the midst of the opposition increasing, we find out what we're really made of. We just do. We find out what's true and what's not. But see, instead of being fearful in this, and this is the challenge for today, there'll be elements of this message that will tempt you with fear. But instead of being fearful, we surrender that again to the Lord. We understand he's promised this to us. Instead of fighting with fear, we then turn and fight with faith. With faith in the one who is sovereign, who's in control, who loves us. And ultimately, loved ones, we understand we're not living for this world. We're living for what's guaranteed in the next as children of God. And therefore, we sacrifice all now for the sake of getting everything in the world that is to come. All that to say, the gospel comes at a cost. And we have to count it. If we're genuine disciples of Jesus Christ, we have to count it. So what kind of cost are we talking about? Point number one is this, the cost of self. We have to count the cost of self. Look again at verse 26. So Jesus says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now, what a profound teaching this is from Jesus here. Notice the word hate in verse 26, but realize essentially what Jesus is teaching is really love, as in a love for Christ. Jesus in verse 26 is not outright teaching us to hate people. Hating was a Semitic term that really meant loving less. Jesus is indicating here, anyone who does not love mother, father, brother, sister, even his own life less than me, cannot be my disciple. Because anyone who loves their father on earth more than their father in heaven doesn't get the gospel. Anyone who puts mother ahead of Christ or spouse ahead of Christ, again, doesn't fully understand the gospel. So that's why Jesus says, if you don't hate mother, father, brother, sister, yourself, then you cannot be my disciple, because obviously you don't understand what it truly means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because when you have everything in Christ and you have experienced the true love that is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is nothing, literally nothing, that compares here on earth. No horizontal relationship could ever ultimately compare to the vertical relationship that we have with the eternal God of the universe, who has given us life and the inheritance of being a child of God. So the person who gets that will obviously love Jesus Christ more than any relationship on this earth. This week, literally this week, some of you have indicated to me that your mother or father has disowned you because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. What is that? That's verse 26. That's verse 26. You have chosen in the pursuit and love of Jesus Christ to love him more, even when your earthly father has disowned you for your faith in Jesus Christ. I spoke to some of you this week. There is now tension in your marriage because of your love for Jesus Christ. There's a spouse that is so threatened and despises your growth in Jesus Christ that there's a tension in your marriage. That's verse 26. You are choosing to love Christ in the midst of having a earthly spousal relationship be affected by that. I literally talked to some of you this week. You had friends before Christ that are no longer your friends after Christ because of Christ in your life. That is verse 26. That is verse 20. No, listen, hear me. We love our parents in this world, amen. We love our spouses in this world, amen. We love our friends, of course. in the love of Christ is rule. But ultimately, if it comes down to who do I love? Of course, my love for Christ must be preeminent in this way. That's verse 26. This is what Jesus is saying. And I believe the last part, though, of verse 26 is the most important, where Jesus says, yes, anyone even hates his own life. There it is. That's the true test. He cannot be my disciple. Now, think about what Jesus just said. The big crowds gather, the disciples are there. Jesus says, listen, if you don't hate mother, father, brother, sister, yet even your own life, you can't be my disciple. Who can demand such devotion? I mean, what a thing to say, right? Who is worthy of such devotion? There's only one who can make such a request upon our lives, and that's God himself. Only God can demand such a thing because he is perfect. Jesus Christ being our all in all. When you have your all in all, you have found everything. When you have found everything, then you need nothing. And so this is why Jesus Christ can say, and hating even your own life, unless you do that, you cannot be my disciple. Let's be clear. The gospel is a call to death. A call to death of self and life in Christ. But this is why, loved ones, in the call to death of self, this is why the Bible, Jesus tells us that many will choose the wide and easy road that leads to destruction. Why? Because we want the road that's about us. We want the road that's easy. That's why many people across this nation, even in churches, are sitting faithfully once a week in church, intellectually agreeing on some level with Jesus and indicating good works on some level with their lives, but probably for the wrong motives. But in the end, they are actually living for self and there's no relationship with Christ. They are actually sitting on the wide and easy road. They are not generally following Jesus Christ. There are some people in this room right now. There's never been a true death to self. There's never been a full surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And you right now are on the wide and easy road that leads to death. You can't live for self all the time and truly know Jesus Christ. He says it right here in the text, on my words, his. You cannot be my disciple. That's why few then travel the narrow road, which is hard, the Bible says. You hear that? It is hard. Why? Because it's not about us. It's a denial of the flesh. It's a full surrender to the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. But it leads to life. It leads to life. This is one of the great challenges within our day. What I know is even as I preach this one verse right now, there's a battle within. Some of us don't like this truth preached over us. Why? Why? We don't like this truth preached over us, cost to self and death to self and life in Christ, because ultimately our flesh wants ease, we want comfort, and we want safety. Say, how do you know that, Robbie? Because I have a flesh too. And I want ease, and I want comfort, and I want safety. If it was up to my flesh, that's all I'd be going for. But the Spirit of God within me doesn't want flesh, it wants Christ. And this is the key. This is what's happening. But this is the battle over our lives, and this is supposed to be the true disciple of Jesus Christ. You know, our flesh, in Romans 12, it says we are to be a living sacrifice. And as one commentator astutely pointed out, the problem with a sacrifice that is alive, it keeps trying to crawl off the altar. It's like that worm when you're fishing and you cut it in half and the thing just keeps going. It seemingly will never die. You put it on the hook, like 10 casts later, it's still moving. That's our flesh so often. It's like we know we should die to sell, but in the end, our flesh fights so hard to stay alive. Make it about me, make it about me, make it about me. And that's why Jesus pulls out messages like this and says, can't be about you, it has to be about me. Our flesh wants self, but the Spirit of God within us wants Christ. And so the battle, even right now, your flesh is like, no, don't listen. But the Spirit of God's like, yeah, listen. The Spirit of God's like, Jesus. And the flesh is like, me. And this is where we start to see again what we're truly made of. But don't you see why this is why there's so many false gospels in our day? A false gospel ultimately away from Christ and put on self. A false gospel of prosperity is a false gospel, because at the end of the day, the gospel says Jesus Christ died so you can have a lot of money. Really? Really? Is that in the Bible? No, it's not. That's a false gospel. That's a gospel of promoting the flesh, not denying it. It's a false gospel. The false gospel of health. the false gospel that Jesus Christ died so I will be free from all kinds of pain. There will be no sickness. I believe God heals, but the whole gospel isn't the premise that you are free from all forms of pain and suffering. That's a false gospel. See, any teaching that ultimately puts us in the center and Jesus Christ on the outside making our life about our happiness, that's a false gospel. There was a book written 10 years ago or so, pretty popular. It's called Your Best Life Now. It was written by Joel Osteen. That book fundamentally in the center is the person, is the man or woman. Jesus Christ is on the outside. If you go through the outline of that book, loved ones, I hate to tell you this, that's a false gospel. That's a false gospel. Jesus, sin isn't mentioned. The true gospel isn't there. There's no death to self. It's all this promotion of the individual over and above God himself. It's a false gospel. It's not in here. It completely contradicts our text today. That's what that book does. And yet so many people, the amazing thing is, you're led away by a false gospel. You're actually, but a lot of biblical language in there, a lot of seemingly good principles, a lot of smiles, a lot of nice guys, right? A lot of, just because you're a nice guy doesn't make you true. Please understand that, right? Just because you're a nice guy doesn't mean anything. Satan disguises himself in angels' light all the time. Nice guys. If you're being led by a false gospel, understand this, you're being led away from Christ. If you're being led away from Christ, you're being led to hell. Because you just can't, there's no Jesus and a negative path. It's either Christ and heaven or apart from Christ and not heaven. It's two things that are happening within this world. We gotta understand that. This is why Paul says in Galatians 1, he says this, I love Paul's humility, but if I or an angel should preach a gospel contrary to the one that we preach and you received, let him be accursed. See what Paul's saying? The gospel we receive from God, if I myself preach a gospel contrary to that, let him be accursed. And just in case you missed it, the very next verse, he says the same thing over again. If a gospel is preached contrary to the one that we had, let that person be accursed. So this is why we have to know the word. This is why we have to really think about what are we following? Who are we following? What are we thinking? What is the reality of following Jesus Christ? The gospel comes at a cost and fundamentally a cost to self. But make sure you know this. This is the beauty of the gospel. The moment we die to self is the moment we actually start to live life as it was meant to be lived. And maybe this is your answer today. Maybe this is your answer. You've never truly died to self. You've never truly given up everything to Christ. There's always been a portion of, well, I like this part of following Christ, but this part over here, it's mine. Whenever we do the mine part, we're sacrificing life. The more, I know how hard this is, but in the grace of God, by the power of God's Spirit, when we die to self, life begins to be lived in a way we've never imagined before. But the key is dying to self. John 12 helps us up very, very well here. Check this out. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. So this is so interesting. A kernel or a grain of wheat, that's what Jesus said is very true. If it falls to the earth and just sits there and does not die, it will just stay by itself and nothing will happen. But Jesus goes on, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. A kernel of wheat, the moment it dies, it breaks open. And when it breaks open, literally, there are thousands of opportunities for seed of grain that explode through this one kernel of wheat that breaks open and dies. It's an awesome illustration. Jesus tends to be pretty smart, huh? And so he uses this, and then he goes on to say, whoever loves his life loses it. You love your life, that's remaining alone, that's not dying. Whoever loses his life, he says, or hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. But the key is dying to self is where life is really beginning to be lived. The gospel comes at a cost to self. And it also comes at this cost, number two, the cost of suffering. So the ear-tickling sermon continues by Jesus here. Look at verse 27. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross. Now, the moment his listeners hear cross under Roman rule, they instantly think death. The moment they hear take up cross, the cross again, instrument of torture, of humiliation, of loneliness, and yes, of death. You know, Jesus spoke these words 2,000 years ago, and the early church would quickly find out what he meant by this phrase, as many of them would literally die in the form of such a death. Now, us here in this nation at this time, in this time of history, we have, for the most part, we have been raised in a historical Christian society. That has been a tremendous grace of God. Unusual blessing, unusual peace, unusual freedom, founded on the principles of the Lord and the principles of Scripture. And we need to be so thankful for that. I just walked into the building today and I just recited to myself, God, thank you that we can meet in this place in freedom. Thank you we have the blessing to gather. Thank you for the grace of the gospel we freely shared. Thank you, Lord, for your freedom. But we know, if we're at all aware of what's happening, we know times are changing. Now, how and why, we're not totally sure. But we know things are not staying the same. And we also know that the peace and freedom we experience today, currently in the gospel, is not that way for hundreds and thousands and millions of our brothers and sisters across this world. Listen to these stats on the persecuted church given by Open Doors Ministry. It says more Christians were martyred in the 20th century than in all the other centuries combined. Over 75% of the world's population lives in areas with severe religious restrictions. 75% of the world's population. Christians are the most widely persecuted religious group in the world. 75% of acts of religious intolerance are directed against Christians. 75%. According to the United States Department of State, Christians in more than 60 countries face persecution from their governments or surrounding neighbors simply because of their belief in Jesus Christ. Currently, over 100 million Christians are being persecuted worldwide. The number one persecutor of Christians is North Korea, where an estimated 50,000 to 70,000 Christians are imprisoned in labor camps. China has experienced a 300% increase in abuse and persecution against Chinese Christians even since 2013. More than 70% of Christians have fled Iraq since 2003, 70%, if not more. 700,000 Christians have left Syria since the civil war began in 2011. That's the entire population of the city of Mississauga. The most rapidly growing area of persecution in the world watch list are in the countries of Africa, especially in the sub-Saharan Africa. Islamic extremism is by far the most significant persecution engine. 40 of the 50 countries on the world watch list are affected by this kind of persecution. 2014 experienced the highest level of global persecution of Christians in the modern era. 2014 experienced the highest level of global persecutions of Christians in the modern era. And it says that 2015, current conditions suggest that the worst is yet to come. I think we believe that. I mean, this is just what's happening in our day.
Well, a convicting message for sure, but one that finds us at the end clinging again to the grace that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Loved ones, there is no condemnation for those of us in Christ Jesus. We cling to that truth today as we wrap up this episode and pray that God's grace be with you this day. If you'd like to hear this message again or the rest of the messages from this series, you can find these resources and more on our website at liveinthelight.ca. Our mailing address in Canada is 500 Great Lakes Boulevard in Oakville, Ontario. Our postal code is L6L6X9. That's all for today, listeners. Join us again next time here on Live in the Light.